Jim Taylor back on the WMJ Sports Line on this Saturday. Good to have you along, and it's great. We're going to have two studio guests with us over the next hour. One is en route. He's on the job. Steve Davis, do not, I repeat, do not get a speeding ticket through Alpha Steve Davis, but he'll be joining us momentarily. And we also have Meg McLaughlin with us this morning. They are true pros, I call them. They're artists. Just do a great job with the photography. Is Meg McLaughlin out of the Argus Dispatch territory, and I know Steve Davis based at the Galesburg Register Mail. Meg McLaughlin, good morning. You're batting solo initially. Thanks for coming in today.
Good morning. Hi. Thanks for having me.
Well, you're a great story because you were telling me off the air. You talk about a true artiste, as I like to say. A theater major, right?
I was.
So tell us your backstory. Went to Allman High School.
I did. I graduated in 2011, and then I stayed around the town, and I went to St. Ambrose. And I was in theater at Allman, and I really loved it. It became kind of a passion of mine. So I went to St. Ambrose, got involved in the theater there. I always wanted to be on stage, but I was telling you earlier, I can't sing at all. I was pretty terrible.
We should say, well, let our listening audience judge by you singing.
I don't know. You can take my word for it. But so I worked backstage. I did a lot of light design, and I did a lot of sound design, and I was a stage manager. So I basically ran the show after the director would leave.
So theater department, theater major, you realize I'm not going to Broadway. So how does one go from theater to, I think you just do a tremendous job. I mean, you found your passion and you found your calling. So how did that segue from how you got to theater major on the stage getting your degree at St. Ambrose to what you're doing now?
Well, thank you, first of all. But I finished my major early, my junior year. Oh, there's Steve. Hi, Steve.
Come on in. Don't be shy.
I finished my major early, and hi. How are you?
I didn't know.
We'll get into small market radio and small market newspaper about what you have to do. But go ahead, fill your story.
I was a theater major, and I finished it all my you know gen eds and everything early. So I took a photography class because I liked Instagram, and I thought I was kind of artsy. I don't know. I thought I'd be kind of fun, but I ended up being really terrible at it. At first, I wasn't doing very well in the class, and I was really frustrated, but I have kind of an addictive personality, so I was pretty determined to do okay, and then it became kind of, an obsession and a passion, and it came down to I had some internships and some job opportunities that I could have pursued with theater. But I really loved taking pictures, and I really loved people, and I really loved meeting new people. So working with the same cast and working with actors kind of took a back burner. It wasn't quite as fun anymore.
So you found your your calling.
I did. I'm right. so lucky to do that.
And I wanted to begin my conversation, and I'm glad you're here, Steve. Is like people. It's really weird because I tell this to one teacher and. She used to coach, and she's an art teacher. And I said, there's those people like you meet in life that they're really cool, but they don't know they're cool. And that's why they're cool, if you know what I mean. And you guys are fit that bill. And I how I'm going to say this is like when you like when you're lugging your equipment around, I'm like, those dudes look so cool doing it. And like when I'm lugging my equipment around, I'm like, what a freaking nerd geek I look like. You know what I'm saying? That's how you know the essence of coolness when I look at you guys. I'm like, you guys are the only way you can get away lugging that stuff around and look so smooth doing it.
Oh, it sure doesn't feel smooth. No, that's the greatest compliment ever.
Steve Davis. All right. Based out of the Galesburg Register Mail. You talk about the perfect text this morning about what this job is all about. He's like, hey, yeah. I'm like, hey, I'm going to be late, man. There's a police chase overnight and Thrifty on 150. But that's what makes the job. I mean, I'm not saying this lightly about the police chase, but the thrill of the profession not being the same every day.
Absolutely. We had a car drive into a restaurant. The day before.
I saw those pictures. That looked bad.
Just crazy, yeah.
And then Thrifty on 150. That's Americana, man.
One of my part-timers lives in Alpha and didn't alert me to the fact that it was going on today. So.
All right. I wonder if they had any police presence there.
I haven't seen him in a long time.
Now, I had initially, there's a running joke with me about, and this happened like a long time ago, about going through Alpha, and now I say Alpha Radar Cop. And I remember somebody was kind of critical of me and said, Taylor, you're being tough on cops. And I'm like, no, it's like really like a, you know, PSA type of thing, you know, drive safely through Alpha, don't get a ticket, I'm doing you a favor.
That's
and then
right.
I had another police officer on social media. He's kind of joined into the fun. And for me, how it began, if you ever watched the old Twilight Zone episodes, there was the one Twilight Zone, I think it was Joan Crawford, where she's driving across country, and she keeps seeing the same guy over and over. And, like, when I drive through Alpha, I'm like, I saw the radar cop 5 blocks down, and he's up here. How'd he get there? I mean, he's like omnipresent. I mean, that's my running joke with it. It's like a Twilight Zone episode. I know I just saw him, and it's like, regardless of what time of the day, it's this. It seems like the same guy is always there. But I digress. So, how'd you get into the business, Steve Davis? Tell us, take us through that. You were a theater major too, and
made it
on Broadway, and came back.
I wanted to be a sports photographer since I was a kid, which is a lot longer ago than for Meg. But I remember seeing, I was just thinking about this. I had a photo of Craig Nettles diving at third base for the Yankees in like the 77 World Series. I remember that photo. I remember thinking, whoa, that is so cool. He was all stretched out making a diving catch. And so I've always had done some photography. But Jeff Holt, who is a sports editor at the
Review Atlas.
Yeah. He was working with a weekly paper called The Paper, based out of the Register Mail. And I started doing some, like, JFL photography and stuff like that. And one of the editors at the newspaper, I grew up in Mequon, you know, 200 people.
Is that Knoxville School District or what school district?
It's Spoon River Valley.
Okay.
North Fulton, I think they call it now. And one of my first friends, Jay Redfern, is an editor of the paper and saw some of my photography, and just, that was in 2009.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So what were you doing before that then?
I worked at a computer store.
No kidding.
Yeah,
what were you?
Really?
I'm not a technician. I was a salesperson.
Man, you talk about a guy that found it then. So I guess kind of the right here, our conversation is, it made, you know, with Meg going to St. Ambrose and being a theater major and then saying, well, maybe that's not what I need to do. Now, most parents will say, well, you better follow your major, son or daughter. But sometimes you can't be saying that. That's what I'm saying. If you're out there listening, I know you're probably, what, 24, 25 years old?
Oh, yeah.
But I'm saying that's what life, this is great, man. This life gives you...
I wanted to be
unlimited opportunities, man.
I wanted to be a rock star. I've been a musician for years, and you know, I've always lived in this area, but I'm like Meg. I just love photographing people. I love photographing sports, but my favorite thing is people.
So you were you in a band? You are in a band now, or not?
Yeah,
he's really good.
What instrument do you play?
I'm a singer and a keyboard player.
So he should have brought the keyboard in today.
I can do the tambourine, maybe.
All right, so we talked a little bit about background then, and I think it's very important here. And when I do these long form interviews with a lot of people in the media, one of my things that I like to, you know, whine about, harp about, whatever you want to say, is people need to understand how important local media is in all segments of local media. And Meg and I were talking in the front office about, you know, specifically with newsrooms and newspapers. You know, we need to reverse the trend.
Absolutely.
And their newsroom needs to be growing. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Including the photography staff, the editorial staff, the whatever, the newsroom staff, the reporter staff. And it's not.
It's the opposite.
And I said this to Meg, too. Can I get an amen? No. But I'm like, some people are apathetic to that, right? And they say, oh, take that media. You know, we know the national trend of what the media portrayal is with national media outlets. You know, I think it's not happening as much from a local media standpoint. We're not totally immune from it, but just you hear a little bit of it. But I always tell people, in the end, you're going to need either you or somebody you know you're directly involved with. is going to need their story told, and there ain't going to be nobody there to tell it if the trend continues to go the way it is
it's
going to
be told by social media.
Yeah, and that's the thing that and I realize we're a little bit to blame for that because we've conditioned so many people to go to social media, and social media vis-a-vis is completely free content basically, and we've conditioned people you know you're going to make me pay for something now when you tweet it out or Facebook it out, and that's the genie out of the bottle thing. But I mean, let's just talk about getting your observations. Meg, we'll start with you. How important, this local media presence has to be. And I mean, you're pretty young in the business, but mm-hmm. I mean, we need local media, and it's important that you see people out at events like Meg McLaughlin and Steve Davis.
No, I think it's super important. It's one of the reasons why I love working in my hometown. I mean, I grew up here, and so I find these stories and the people around them so valuable, and I'm so passionate about the people. And so I really can't stress it enough that having local media, people that really care about the community and the community's well-being and growth, I think that, I mean, I can't imagine what it would be like if people who didn't care or if there were less people to be telling the stories of the community. I mean, and people really value that. I think everybody loves news. I mean, people are so, even with social media, people are just consuming news more than I ever really thought they would. So, I mean, obviously people like it. You might as well have people tell stories that like you too.
Yeah, and I mean, the visual imagery important. Oh, that part of it is so important. About a picture can paint 1,000 words or whatever you want to. So what about maintaining that local media presence and how important that is, Steve?
Well, it's imperative. I sometimes think that as photographers, we get the good end of the stick. We're there for the good stuff, and people tend to remember that a little more. I know to localize it in Galesburg right now, we've lost all the factory jobs, and people want to blame the prison, and that through photos we can show the positive side. It's a little easier to do that than it is with words.
Well, so sports, both passion for both of you, so a little bit about, but you know when you're in newsrooms and you're a photog, it's not just sports, so you got to balance both. But your love of sports came at an early age, Meg? Or
no, I actually hated sports. I'll be honest.
That's such a great story.
I hated
so
sports.
So the dude over here loves Craig Nettles, and I want to take. I hate sports. And now you're like, man, you're like you're this presence. You have to be there at these sporting events.
Oh yeah. Now I'm trying to catch up and learn the rules. I was that brat growing up. I mean, I wouldn't say I was, I mean, I was not awful, but my family, I'm related to the Reeds, so Rock Island coaching family, and my mom was an athlete. My dad's family, not so much, not really at all, actually. But on my mom's side of the family, they're really involved in the community, and there's a lot of Hall of Famers and stuff, and so I tended to lean towards rebelling. Like, my parents are huge Cardinal fans, and I remember they'd take us to Cardinal games, and I'd be like, I hate this. This is awful. I'm not paying attention to this simply because you brought me here. Like, so I ignored it. And, I loved going to high school games when I was in high school, but not for the game, just because I was there. I remember watching Chase and Randall play. He graduated the same year I did.
And you were
Rocky.
An Almond grad, right?
I was an Almond grad, yep. So, yeah, so I think the only thing I liked about sports was Chase and Randall for a long time.
Well, so because you just prove again, about not really realizing how cool you are about what your presentation is right here, about just being so honest. You know, a long time ago, this is funny. We did a long form interview. I bet you this is 20 years ago. Duncan Reed came in here.
Oh God!
And
really?
He was so hilarious. Oh. But he brought, because there was this rumor circulating around. He was out of coaching for a while, and somebody brought up about, would you ever be willing to coach at a small school again? And the Aledo, this was prior to consolidation, so this is a long time ago. And the question was like phrased, would you ever consider? Aledo was never mentioned, but would you ever consider coaching at a small school? And he's like, yeah, he said, I probably would. He's like, but the administration, once they give me the job, you know, hands off. They can't say anything to me. It's my program, that type of stuff. I'm like, well, you ain't getting the job out of here.
No way.
But nope. he said the one thing, though, and I think it rings very true, and this is a father of four children speaking, me, the bald guy in the room. He said, James, I'm like, yeah. He goes, you realize, he's like, all parents are rational people. And then he goes, but for dealing with their own children. I kind of see that. And he was talking about specifically as it relates to the old playing time mm-hmm. debate and getting into that.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Much of this conversation was about that. But he was such a great interview. But I digress. So, Steve.
Well, I want to bring up, I was a basketball. I moved to Galesburg my junior year. Came from a really small town to not a big city, but bigger. And I played basketball at Valley, but at Galesburg, there was no way I was going to play. So my coach at Valley got me I was a basketball manager for the Streaks. And I remember, this was back in the 80s before you were even around.
So what year did you graduate from?
81.
Okay.
And so I remember Duncan Reed being the coach. And I remember talking to him one time, like, good game, coach, or something. It was really awkward. And he was so nice.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he looked...
Very
important. You know, yeah. Coach. Yeah, exactly. And it was just kind of like he was taking the time out to say something to kid. I remember that. You remember stuff like
but,
that.
But those are the type of personalities I tell people. They're it's like infotainment. I mean, they can inform you about stuff. They're, you know, and they can control kind of the information, as they say. But then there's a lot of entertainment, and probably there's just maybe a little bit of embellishment in some of the things.
Oh, yeah.
Say,
yeah.
I love remember, that.
Where we get
I remember we had talk. I joke with Coach Whiteman all the time, the former, well, he's the JV coach at Rockridge, Toby Whiteman, about we start telling these Steve Sandholm stories down at down at Knoxville. I said I'd do a pregame interview with him. I'd ask him one question, and it'd be 7 minutes long, and I'm like, all right, we'll be back right after this. So, I mean, it's those type of, like, characters of the game. I mean, do you enjoy that part, Steve?
Absolutely.
I mean, like sports? Because you do the news part, too, and that's from small market radio. I like the balance of both. I mean, I like doing the news part of covering the courthouse, covering the beat of that. But sometimes it's like, man, does life got to be this bad and this miserable in these places?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And then the contrast of going to, you know, a Friday night high school basketball game or football game or whatever, and the balance maybe you need in your personal life and the professional life, too.
Oh, absolutely. We're so surrounded by... a lot of storied high school programs, especially with consolidation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got the Lido Green Dragons, and I think that's – I'm sad about that. I'm sad that you lose some of the identities, but it just adds to the lore. I think we're both blessed that we both – we don't cross our coverage too much. We do in probably like Anawan and down here in Mercer
County.
Yeah,
some of the Western Big Six stuff, too,
yes,
probably
yes.
Cross paths.
Mm-hmm. But, there's history there, and it's storied, and that is a really nice break from...
So, getting back to you, though, how did you get into it, Steve? I mean, in terms of...
I shouldn't say late in life, midlife
crisis led to a job.
It was relative.
A passion of something you did.
I was happy at the computer store. I mean, it was... mundane, but I was taking JFL photos, and on a Sunday afternoon they play at Knox College on the turf, and Jeff saw a couple of them, and hey, would you like to just
maybe... By the way, Jeff Holt's a good dude, man.
He really is.
I gotta get in here someday. He's always in here. He's so nice.
He's so nice.
You know, I mean, and there's like, this is like we're getting off the beaten path, but is it really that hard to be nice to people? And
no.
I'm like, no.
It's not nice.
I mean,
it's so
much there's
easier.
Some people in the media that, God, this is a job that you, for the most part, you should be enjoying on Friday nights when you're covering high school sports. Why you got to be so angry?
I think, you know, I go to the Quad Cities and kids, do you know Meg? Do you
oh,
know
what?
Meg?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Because I've watched her, how she relates to the kids, and she... You know,
well, that's the same thing. You go down there, they're like, you know, Davis, man.
Everywhere I go. Oh, yeah. No, it really is.
He's through Alpha, man.
I did get a ticket in Alpha once.
Oh, man, me too.
One of my favorite stories, we had like a person that was coming in here from, he was doing some network stuff, so there's some network programming we had, so it was an affiliate-like manager. Mm-hmm. And he was like 20 minutes late, and he's saying to John O'Shea, he goes, I'm sorry. Sorry I'm late. And he's like, I got a speeding ticket coming up here. And we're like, where'd you get it at? He goes, oh, a little town. He goes, you know, you get off 74 there. He goes, I think it's 150. I said, oh, yeah. I said, so Alpha? And he's like, yeah, Alpha. And I'm like, yeah. You haven't been listening to us long enough. So I got to ask, though, is there like, what are some of the challenges that both of you face? And I would assume some of it has to do with, you know, why isn't Davis at the Knoxville Lewistown game? He's at the Farmington whatever game. Same with Meg McLaughlin. Why isn't she at the Alleman Rocky game? She's at the Moline UT game. What are some of the different challenges or in terms of your profession that you face? Are complaints or any negative part of it?
There aren't too many negatives, really, that I can think of. My only challenge recently, and it's comical, is coaches who are superstitious.
Really?
I like to go in the dugout and work. And I was down in Macomb last week, and I asked...
Is that Boehner, the Macomb coach?
Yeah, but Jim Cole, Monmouth Roosevelt's coach. I said, Coach, can I come in the dugout? And he stood there, and he looked at me. For like a full 5 seconds. And he said, yeah. And I guarantee you he was thinking, what happened the last time?
Yeah, I know.
You know, it's yesterday at Monmouth College, the Midwest Conference Tournament got moved to Monmouth. Coach, can I come in the dugout? And he's like, yeah, just stay in the corner.
As long as you spit the sunflower seeds over the white line.
Yeah.
I love that.
And sometimes I don't, if you've encountered this when you get into the postseason, yesterday, you can't be where you normally are. They have photo wells at Monmouth, but
For the Midwest Conference tournament. I got you.
So that's why we're out of the dugout. You know, it's not a big deal. We get complaints, you know, about our coverage once in a while.
I get a lot of complaints, not too frequent, but I think one of the more laughable complaints I've gotten was we do weekly pace setters at the Dispatch Argus. So we take pictures and write a big story on the athlete of the week for the most part. We do an area one, and we do a metro pace setter like the Western Big Six and the Geneseo area. But I did an area pace setter for a sweet young girl in Orion. She was a hurdler. She's a sweet girl. She was so kind, and we took a picture, and she's flexing, and I've got her next to a hurdle, and got a written complaint in the mail, and it said, when will you guys stop putting girls in the paper? You make them look like pinup girls. And so there are the odd complaints like that. I thought that
was it an anonymous?
Of course it was.
That's what it was.
It was, and it was on.
Even with that type of a complaint, you're gonna make, you can't sign your name to it.
Oh yeah, and it was on Cute Little Butterfly notebook pad. It was a cute little old lady cursive. Like, I mean, it was pretty comical. I thought it was funny that you know, I took a picture of a girl, and apparently she looked like a pinup girl, so that means no more girls in the sports section. We're done. Sorry, ladies. Like, we're cut. It's over. Yeah.
So, like, are both of you like your own worst critics, though, when you are in this, like when you take for example, creative control, they talk a lot about that in the media. It's like, so, I guess a good start is like, so you're at a game, and I'll talk to both of you. And this is one of the things that I like about like working here at a locally owned station, that I'm not confined by using a 14-second soundbite on all my stories. I'll use a 3.5-minute soundbite if I want to. I don't care because it's local news. Now, can I get away with that at most other places? No. Right. But my listening audience seems to like it, and it tells the story of the local person talking, so I'm going to do that. So the one thing that kind of bothers me from, you know, there's certain standards in all businesses in the media, newspaper business, in like you maybe one photo, two photos max per like story, whatever. And I'm like, well, why can't they have 7 photos of the Mercer County Rock Ridge game? Why? people would want to see that. They would. Now, you offer that digitally, I know, in a lot of the... why can't you do it in the paper? And I know there's so much space. I know that's an issue, too. But sometimes I'm like, maybe we think out of the box a little more and do stuff like that, especially when it's so great and it's so compelling, where a lot of times pictures...
Tell the story.
Tell the story way more than the written words. Whatever.
A great horizontal photo, for instance, and it'd be like, oh, sorry.
No,
we just have verse. I get that all the time.
Vertical spot.
So that's what I'm saying. The creative control, there's got to be a little, probably more take than give, as I would say, lose that a little bit. So I'm curious, like, how many pictures, like, say you're going to a Friday night high school football game between Monmouth Roseville and Macomb. So how many pictures do you shoot, and then how many are in the... this is the real important part. So how many pictures you take, all right? And then who decides? Like, do you say, okay, here's the 170 pictures I took, what do you want to use? And then you're going to say, well, I really want this one, so actually I took 16 of the photos, and you get to pick only one of these shots, please choose this one.
Well,
it's
different for Meg because she has a photo editor. Yeah. I'm the photo editor too. And I learned a long time ago that I have the ultimate choice over what's going to go in because I don't have to turn something in necessarily.
And
we've talked and
you rope a dope.
Exactly.
I didn't get that. I got this though.
I've kind of earned that. You know, they trust me. Our paper is designed in Texas. So, our paper is designed. They'll know at 6 o'clock what the basic layout is going to be. We've got the Cardinals and the Cubs, and so generally.
You mean 6 o'clock in the evening?
Yeah.
Okay.
Generally, and then it's laid out.
Yeah.
8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. Generally for a Galesburg game in the Galesburg paper, we'll have two photos. If we just shoot, we use stringers on a Friday night, we may have coverage of four games, probably.
And that's for the Register Mail.
Correct.
Yeah.
And for the Review Atlas, we have papers in Kewaunee, and so we have that WCI on Thursdays, too.
Which is great.
Which is fantastic, two photos.
Out of how many you take at the game, though?
Hundreds.
Yeah. Hundreds? Oh, I got thousands.
Yeah, depending on the game.
You basically put something in your mind that's during the game to say, well, we probably need this shot. I mean, in terms of the turnaround of the game being over and getting the paper out in terms of, well, what am I going to choose? I mean, you have an idea, basically.
Yes.
Is it the same way for you?
When it's ideal. I mean, you like to think that, you know, you look at the back of the camera after a play and you're like, okay, well, this was a good picture. This is the moment. I think this will tell the general story. You'll tag it in your camera. And when you're going through, you know, you can go back to that picture and look. But... yeah, you really hope that you were able to get it in advance, because otherwise it's a lot of pictures to go through hoping to find that you get the best one. And I'm not – I'm really lucky to have a photo editor that is – he's got a great eye, because I am my own worst editor. I'll give you – I've narrowed it down to my favorite 500, so then I'll go
from
there.
Thank God for galleries.
Did you say 500?
Yeah, some days. The most amount of pictures I've taken at a single game – I'm really not a good example. I think it was an Augie game, and it was nearly 5,000. It was a basketball game. I was just shooting like crazy.
Do they like Meg? Can you tone it down a little bit?
Yeah.
Well, our part-timers, and this is not a criticism of them, although I do talk to them about it, our part-timers will get in one place, and they'll sit, and they'll wait for a play to happen, and they don't photograph defense. And it's like, I feel like we're getting paid to get a photo. So people will say, oh, my God, how many photos does your camera take a second?
Oh, I love that question.
Do you really need that? Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Because
only one of them's good.
Paid to get a photo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that one out of 10.
Got that question yesterday.
So getting back to, though, the question about why can't there be, not all the time, but why can't there be more? Is that just a dumb idea? Why can't there be more photos?
It's really hard these days with especially. Do you guys have your own editors that do your layout?
We do.
In ours
Indiana.
Is sent so far away.
Yeah,
it's
got
to go to Texas and then come back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And but if it's a big game, we have a little more leeway that way.
But I know you provide the digital media galleries that yes. are social media.
Thank but, God, I don't know what I would yeah, do
without right.
having a place to put some of that stuff.
But I know that's the old debate we get into about, you know, or where we're providing this content, and it's the financial aspect. What are we getting?
We do. We sell them.
Yeah, but
I'm people can order them, and I'm kind of surprised. I always think nobody's buying these, and then
right?
I look at the numbers, and I'm like, oh my god.
We just
well,
did
that. Is great to hear that.
We had great numbers this year too. Just since January, I was really surprised. I know for me, I don't know if I could come up with more than two pictures sometimes because we got multiple games to cover a lot of times. So it's we don't want to make that an expectation that there's going to be. Because I might not have six good pictures from a game, so
I find that hard to believe.
Oh well, thank you, I appreciate it. But
it
if
does
you're,
happen,
especially if you're, you know, in baseball, it's so slow sometimes. I mean, sometimes you just don't get as many pictures. So,
I got to ask you, how many times do when people see you, both of you guys, are like, hey, come over here. I got a question for you about shooting this my son or my daughter's game.
Every day for me.
Yeah, just about every day.
Every
Somebody
day.
Will come up. And,
I assume you like that.
I'm happy to help. I get the question a lot, what camera should I buy?
Yeah.
I get that a lot.
Do you tell them what camera to buy?
I tell them that.
Like, or what specs should be in the cameras?
I just tell them to
this ad paid for by
spend,
Steve Davis.
Yeah. If you're taking a picture of your kids, you don't have to go out and buy the best camera, Especially if it's an outdoor sports, just you don't have to spend a ton of money.
It's always hard too because I don't know how familiar they are with photography.
Right.
So it's like I don't want to speak over their head or over the so I don't want to come off. I don't know.
Okay.
Bad.
You're too cool to do that. You mean talk down to them?
Yeah, that would be terrible. I don't know. I don't mind when people ask me those kinds of questions as long as there's not it's not right during the game. It tends to happen more often when I'm like I'm in the middle of taking some pictures today. Can we give me two shakes and then I'll come back and answer your questions.
All right, we need to take a break, man. Time quickly getting away from us. So great to have Meg McLaughlin and Steve Davis with us in studio on this Saturday morning on the WRMJ Sports Line.
Sometime here.
Jim Taylor back on the WRMJ Sports Line on this Saturday morning. Great to have Meg McLaughlin and Steve Davis with us, as you can follow them on Twitter. Meg McLaughlin, you're at, if people want at you, go ahead. How does that old lady at you that's mad about the pinup girl in the paper?
Please do. I'd love to hear from you.
What is it? What's your...
Oh, right. Sorry, it's early for me. It's at Meg McLaughlin, D-A.
All right. What about you, Steve?
At Stevie Deep D.
Yeah.
I love your Twitter handle.
I hit one home run my entire life. It was in a softball game, and that's... everybody started calling me that.
Well, how long?
That's so great.
Because I was in my late 30s when I hit that home run, and the wind was blowing out. So it's
All right, so do you remember the first picture you ever took that was published? Steve Davis, go ahead. What was it? JFL, right? No.
Yeah, it probably would have been.
He could go all the way.
That was published. I have photos from the Cubs playing the Reds in 72 of Johnny Bench. I just walked with my Instamatic and just walked right down because I was a kid. And took a bunch of photos, but they weren't published anymore, obviously. But
that's when you knew this is what you wanted to do.
Oh, but yeah, even back then, I'm like, this would be so cool. I never dreamt it was really going to happen.
Yeah. You remember the first picture you ever?
I do. It was, it was only 2.5 years ago, so it wasn't, for me, it wasn't too long. It was I hope that no one will ever see it again. Because they were terrible, but it was the... I will show you all, but they were... it was the Lago Marcinos race in October, I took a picture...
That's like a 5K road race or something like that?
It is, and I took pictures of people sitting. I thought it was cool. I was like, oh, this is what my boss will like. I've seen this picture before.
That's amazing. She's been doing this for 2.5 years, but she's known... Throughout the state, I mean, you go to state tournaments seriously.
Oh, I know.
And in 2.5 years, her work is extraordinary.
Well,
that's why I'm so happy about galleries, because one of the things that Meg does, she does everything great, but she's got such a great eye for detail and for non-action shots. That those aren't going to make the paper sometimes, but when you see them, you're able to see them digitally. That's a blessing.
So
that's so nice of you. Thank
you. And truly. You can be your own worst critic. I realize that. But in this business, too, you have to have a little bit of ego. I mean, it's just the way it is. And I readily admit I'm my own worst critic many times, but have ego in this business, too, because that's how it works. So I guess when you look at the job you do, Meg, mm-hmm. I mean, do you ever, like, a picture you've taken say, yeah, man, this is it?
Yeah.
But then maybe the reaction is different than you think, but then you take another picture and you think, man, this thing's freaking terrible. And
oh,
then
yeah.
The other reaction is like, oh, this is what, and you're like, what? I don't get what people want sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. All the time. I'll take a picture and I'm like, this is like, I'm okay with this. Like, this is highly okay. Like, I like this a lot. And, you know, people will be like, oh, that's nice. I'll even show my parents. They're like, oh, that's different. I'm like, oh, that's different. That's different. I'm like, I want you to tell me I'm phenomenal. Like, I need this. But, and then I'll take a picture. I took a picture of, my nephew and my niece just recently. My mom was like, oh, this is award winning. I'm like, Mom, I can't win an award for family photos, but I appreciate it. But yeah, that happens.
That
quite
comes back
frequently.
To the Duncan Reed quote about all parents are irrational people except dealing with their own
children. Always. We can always go back to that.
Yeah. All right, what about you? There's got to be some of that. Where you're like, man, this is good. Why don't you like this better than this? Come on.
I had kind of the opposite. Mercer County was playing in Williamsfield, and I was late. I know that's shocking. I walked up, and there looked like there was going to be a double play. And so I snapped the shot really fast. And then one of the Mercer County coaches, I'm not going to name any names, but he's like, hey, he didn't touch second base. The second baseman didn't touch second base. He's, do you have a photo of that? I said, I am not an instant replay.
No.
Let's go.
I can't do that. But I showed it to him, and he goes, holy cow. He's what an amazing shot. And I'm like, what? And I hadn't even looked at it. The kid was, like, flying and throwing the ball at the same time.
Oh, Giovanni Lee.
Was that Gio? Yeah. I love that picture.
And it was just, I literally... I want to take credit for it, but I literally walked up and said, oh, there's going to be a double play. Because in Williamsfield, you're 3 feet from – there's no room in foul territory.
Oh, man. Well, it was a good picture.
Awesome.
I feel like that's how half of my good pictures are taken. Yeah. It's like, I really shouldn't take credit for this. It's all
well, so I'm just curious, like, what's the biggest – like, for both of you, you can get compliments, but then, like, something can, like, put it in perspective and can, like, floor you. You know what I'm saying? Like, wow, I didn't think it was that important. And in this business where you think you're doing something minimal that's not that really earth-shattering, but, like, to somebody else, it's like you just made their...
Had a prison release from an exonerated Chicago prisoner. I saw several Chicago TV trucks out by the prison, so I pulled over. And
you
like,
got, oh, wow.
What's going on? Oh, they're releasing a prisoner today. So the prisoner walked out, and his mother, we've had several of these now.
Oh, this is an awesome
but
story.
The
here,
prisoner, yeah, his mother was there, and she was in her late 80s, and she kissed him on the cheek. And I got a shot of it, and it was like AP photo of the month for the nation.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Awesome, man.
They deserved it.
Yeah, I drove
I know
by,
exactly
and it's
what...
like... She kissed him. You know, to me, the story was amazing because we also had another guy who ended up being on the NBC Nightly News. It was the same thing.
But the picture told the story.
Exactly.
The picture told the story.
In prison for decades.
Oh, so yeah. Then you got reaction from the exonerated inmate or?
I haven't heard from either of those guys.
But you just, I mean, that's just basically sometimes you have to be in the right place at the right time.
It was luck. We make our luck.
Yeah.
I mean, I believe that. We make
absolutely
our luck. We put ourselves in position for the lucky shot.
So what about, like, hearing from somebody or, like, any – and you've only been doing this, you said, 2.5 years. But.
2.5 years. My first year at the paper, I was an intern, and I remember it was a really warm day in August, and I had shot the Mississippi Valley Fair. Nothing good happens at the Mississippi Valley Fair, let me tell you that. I know because I've been a fair goer, and I've covered
and
it.
And that's
so.
Basically what every, like, parent of teenagers in the greater WMJ listening area say about the Mississippi Valley
it's
Fair.
The,
they're like, yeah, Matt McLaughlin is so right about that. Shut that thing down!
It's the only place my mom has ever told me, please don't go. Like, when I was in high school, I remember.
Every other mother said that, too.
Just please, for me, please don't go. But,
and every other daughter goes. goes. That's
I went all 7 days. And I'm sorry, Mom, if you're listening. I'm really sorry. But I remember, and I was exhausted, and one of our crime reporters, who is no longer with us, she's working in Wisconsin, I think, now. She's great, Rachel Warmke. But she's like, hey, there was a shooting last night in Rock Island, and I think I'm going to go over and just see if there are any witnesses. Just kind of check it out. If you want to come with, go ahead. If not, you know, whatever. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm so tired. Like, I just want to go home. But I don't know. I really want to get a job here. And I'm just an intern. So I'm going to go above and beyond, and I'm going to go with. And we got there, and we talked to a couple people. And, you know, most people moved us along. And then we knocked on one door, and they actually did see the shooting. And there was a little girl. She was 9 at the time, or 8. And they actually had the bullet go through their window. And and they were really dirty and dusty windows, and we were talking, and I realized that the little girl, her name was Darlene, she was writing hate, not love, in the dust in the windows the bullet hole, and it turns out that she was from Tanzania, and that they had just come to this country that year because her brother had been shot and killed, and she also witnessed it, so there was kind of some confusion, and, you know, I think it brought back a lot of memories for this child, and I got a picture of her writing it like hate, not love, and goodbye, and I'm sorry. And she's writing all these messages on the window, and it's probably my favorite picture I've ever taken, just because it was so meaningful. But I got a lot of people that had said, like, wow, this picture is great. Like, this really is a good story, and it's good to know that, you know, that it's important that the Quad Cities knows that there are children affected by a lot of the crime.
Well, and how long were you an intern at that time?
That was my third month.
Holy smokes.
I know. I know. I know. I look back, I'm like, wow, well, man, I wish I could be that good again.
And it's those kind of moments that say that, you know, there's a higher purpose in what you do.
Oh, 100%.
And it's not every day, but I'm saying that this job, whatever form of media you're in, I mean, I hope professionals take it this way, that there is a higher purpose. Now, it doesn't happen every day of your job, but there is something that you come across that should floor you. And if it doesn't, then you're in the wrong profession.
Meg also goes out into the neighborhoods and takes pictures of kids. And, it imprints on me. There are photos that she's taken that, you know, there was one of a murder trial. Oh. And the family member of the deceased embracing a family member of the murderer.
Yeah.
And it was just, whoa, you know. Well, I've been in a courtroom plenty of times. I've never, I'm always told, you know, they don't want to be in the photo. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Those kinds of moments stick with you, too. They stick with you. Definitely.
Those kids, their smiles on their faces, you know, everybody wants their picture taken.
Well, and that's why, too. It sounds like, you know, in terms of, you almost have to be on the job 24/7.
Oh, yeah.
You can't physically be, but do you carry? I know in small market radio, because we're locally owned, I have a digital recorder and mic with me everywhere I go. Even if I'm with at a family event, family function, I just have it with me, because if something goes on, I have the audio resources to do it. I mean, is that... Are both of you that way, where you always have the camera with you at all times?
Oh, yeah. Because if not, I have my phone. And for sure. I don't think that I'm ever off, really. I mean, if I'm not at work, I'm thinking about work.
And that's the way you have to be?
Yeah.
I mean,
that's
a blessing.
And
that's a blessing and a curse. I mean, that's the blessing and the curse with this profession.
Right. I sleep with a scanner in my ear.
Yeah.
My wife doesn't want to hear it anymore. Right?
I had a coworker who just recently retired, and he said that to be in journalism or just photojournalism, it's really a vocation. You're really called to do this work, because it becomes who you are. I mean, it's everything about you. You have to really love it, mm-hmm. because it could be hard.
Well, in the profession, and I say photojournalism, all right, the profession needs people like you to tell the story of why the story of photojournalism is important, if you see what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying?
With cell phones, people are doing it themselves.
But you see the stories of newsrooms where they're just slashing their photojournalism department.
Sometimes.
And that's, and I'm just saying that, folks, we can't let this stuff. I mean, the newsrooms need to grow; they can't get smaller.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I want to end our conversation today, as we're running out of time. So
that went by fast.
Yeah, I know. So Steve, can we talk about like local media before we leave? How important it has to be. A lot of people will say, well, there's competition between newspapers, there's competition between radio, newspaper, competition between TV and newspaper. But I'm in to the point for where I'm at. I want to see newsrooms grow everywhere, and I don't care what the form of
media. Everybody has their own. I mean, radio and newspapers coexist because they deliver the news in different ways.
Yeah, exactly.
And the way they're able to do it. And
I want more people covering the story as possible. Because I can't cover everything. You can't cover everything. The TV stations can't cover everything.
Right.
Unless there's more people doing it to cover it.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Subscribe.
Please.
Please subscribe.
Mm-hmm.
So you've been how long officially, Steve, then?
I've been full-time since 2012, I think.
So 2012. My goodness, yeah. You're kidding me. What a story,
man. It goes fast, yeah.
Now, have you had to write stuff too, or no?
No.
Nope.
Oh,
thank
yeah.
Thank goodness, no.
Me either.
I get asked that every day.
Me too.
I used to say I'm just a photographer, but trying to be comical, you know, but people are like, oh, don't say that. But
I know, I love that. I'm like, I'm not trying to sound like that. No, I really just am, though.
Yeah, I'm not a writer, though. That's my, I'm trying to make the point. I'm not really a writer.
So the most enjoyable, like, thing for you to cover, like, tell me what it is. So you can't say sports, you have to narrow it down to baseball, softball, basketball, bass fishing. By the way, I spent 8 hours last week covering a bass fishing sectional. Amen.
Nice.
Sometimes, because you want to see, both of you guys would do such a great job with the visual imagery of that.
I wish we knew more.
That's how I look at it. And you would teach a lot of people by just taking the visual imagery of it. To
maybe
me,
next
is
year when they can let us know.
So important in learning what the rules are. But what is your favorite?
To be honest, baseball. I've loved baseball since I could talk and walk. Especially small town baseball.
Well, and I guess the other thing that Meg proved, that you can start out by hating sports and be really good at then loving sports and getting visual imagery.
Well, thank you. Yeah, now I love it. I'm obsessed with it. I can't consume enough of it. For me, I love taking portraits. I like taking a moment and a person, and like really, especially portraits, our athlete portraits. I have a lot of fun with that.
Oh, they're excellent.
Thank you. Yeah. I have a lot of fun. I think I live vicariously through them. I think I wished I was a cool athlete.
So what happens like when I see like when I'm at state tournament events, when like all the photogs are there, like
chaos
together covering an event. But like, is it like a lot of trade talk?
Yeah. For sure.
Is it like, so it's not really like, there, it's, to me, it looks like that profession, you know, again, about people being cool and not realizing they're cool. It's just like, there's not this weird, like, vibe that they're competing against one another. Man, there's this appreciation. I like
yeah.
the other people are like, man, I'm going to scoop you on that. Yeah, let's go. But I'm like, the photojournalists, it's like they figured it out that maybe they realize that, hey, we're all in this together. We need to be rowing the boat in the same direction.
I love those events.
I do
all
too.
Get to be together and see the guys from Peoria.
Oh yeah,
Ron Johnson and Fred Zwicky. You've been doing it for so long. You learn from them, and you see that you know they're it's not a competition.
Yeah, I mean I'm getting that perception right by when I see the photo journalists together.
Mutual admiration.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's like a reunion. Oh, yeah, for sure. Just at the Anawan game. I had so much fun catching up with everybody. Oh, yeah.
All right, so what do you got going on? What's next for you, like, assignment-wise? Are you off today, or what are you
doing? I'm off today. I'm headed to DeKalb. My nephew, he plays for the Quad City Elite. He's 11, so I'm hoping that he'll take a win home today.
We need to get him to transfer to Mercer County.
Yeah, no. Good luck. We'll see. He's in the process of deciding what high school.
That's a good way. So I assume then, like everybody's like with your family, like, mm-hmm. Well, can Meg, you're going to take pictures, right?
I don't know.
Are you like, I mean, do they expect? is that expectation from your family to you because you're a photojournalist? You got to come here and take all these pictures. You're always on the job or not?
No.
They're not that way?
They're not that way out loud. I think they are subconsciously. Like, my I know I went on vacation recently, and for the most part, they're really polite, and, you know, they're supportive of my career, but they're like, hey, would you mind? I need a new profile picture. But my brother just flat out said, I'm expecting some chill, candid photos out of vacation this year from you. I'm like, I'm glad we're not pretending anymore.
All right. So what about, like, is the family, like, always expected of you?
My kids do not like having their photos taken.
I was always curious about how your kids thought of that.
Yeah, they get tired of it. We're actually going to Minneapolis next weekend to meet my daughter's boyfriend's parents.
Okay.
Kind of a serious thing,
cool.
Although we don't really know for sure what's going on. But, yeah, I think my daughter is hoping and expecting me to bring my camera, but to not use it.
Yeah.
Unless I want to.
All right. Well, I'm glad we could get you on, and it is an honor, and I wanted to make sure that we recognized you publicly.
Thank
both
you so
of you
much.
On the air. I know how the community out here really appreciates.
Can I give one little plug?
You most certainly cannot.
I have an intern starting on Monday.
Okay.
She's a Columbia College student. Her name is Hallie Parkinson.
Yeah, she's
from
Mercer County grad. Yeah,
she'll,
awesome.
She'll be
around the area then.
Yeah, she'll be obviously she'll be living in Aledo during December, but she'll be in Galesburg a couple days a week.
Awesome. Well, good.
Aledo, so
that's great to hear.
I want
to
make sure I plug that.
Yeah, awesome.
Another
I'm
female
sure
photographer? That's awesome. Yeah.
Exactly.
Cool.
All right, then. So that's great. Anything else, Meg, from you?
No, thank you for having us on.
Well,
this
I think
is
it's
fun.
Great. Like I said, I want to commend, publicly recognize you two and make sure, you know, you're very nice people. So if people see you around and you have a question about a camera, or
come up and say hi.
Yeah, please do. I love
or if you're mad about pinup girls in the August Dispatch,
talk to Steve about it, actually.
All right, so again, you can find Steve Davis on Twitter. Great follow.
At StevieDD.
That's because he hit one home run in his
one
career.
Home run
I love that.
Dude, you're old enough to play on my 15 over softball team. I didn't realize
if I could only lift my shoulders above my head.
All right, and Meg?
I'm at Meg McLaughlin, DA.
So it's been a privilege talking to two tremendous artists and two true pros with us on the WMJ Sports Line. Again, our thanks to Steve Davis and Meg McLaughlin.